I'm turning to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 22. Gospel of Matthew, chapter 22. And I begin with the first two verses there. So Matthew 22, verses 1 and 2. And Jesus answered and speak unto them again by parables, and said, The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king, which made a marriage for his son. And we are thinking of the greatest kindness ever. The greatest kindness imaginable. And this is, of course, the kindness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this is a very, very beautiful parable. Of course, all the parables of the Lord bear the same marks. They are always beautiful like that and full of instruction. But very surprisingly, it starts with those words. Look at verse 1. And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables and said, What was the Lord Jesus Christ answering? What was the question that he was answering by this parable? In fact, you have the answer right at the beginning of chapter 21. It wasn't actually a question. It was an attitude. The Lord Jesus Christ had told two parables, and they were intended to challenge the Jews and to tell them what their state was like. Because this is, the Lord told this parable. In fact, those parables he told them when he was about to go to the cross of Calvary. Because it was at the time we call the triumphal entry. So just about a week before the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary. And he told them those parables because their attitude as the people of the Lord, the Jews, had come to a point where the Lord was going to give them the final opportunity, if you like. And so there was a finality to the parable. So the Lord Jesus Christ told them those two parables to warn them and to challenge them if they would turn and believe and trust him. But they would not. Rather, they became angry. They became angry that they wanted to really kill the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when they were angry, and their response was only that bitterness towards the Lord Jesus Christ, answered them with another parable. You see? And so what the Lord is doing is that he's actually answering their attitude of hatred, their attitude of despising his message, with another parable. And in this parable, he actually summarizes, if you like, puts together the lessons of the two parables they didn't like. So, in other words, he was repeating the same thing to them. They were not happy with him. They were not happy of his challenges. But the Lord says, well, I have to repeat that to you because that's what you need to hear. And so the Lord effectively repeats the same parable, at least the lesson. The parable itself is different, but the lessons relate somewhat a kind of an emphasis on what he had said already. Na ya chance ne se ya nkomo no pene fa ayenye kese a yeni ne sesso ayeni e bi ende di pen na efewade Yesu Kristo na yenye ho na se ye she adise na so se ne wade Yesu Kristo ya no no ka se ne bi sesse dia sem bi sa kra no ya no no ne se enya sem bi sa eye de o ne wo kese na eye Radio Yesu Kristo ni won kasa samri na akaka kram Radio Yesu Kristo akowo Calvary e ka just about a week because we samri ya samri no Radio Yesu Kristo tna aswaso no so e kro Jerusalem no samri na Radio Busa e kasa tre Israel fo no na no some of kind no omo ohun se sedie omo aye fa Yankopon asam na feed on my own final time on my own bra e chat for kra So mo entia one tibia ebe din kra ebia ka ho esin first no. Enti ebe na obu no no de bo won kokko e fa said e omo only a final chance. But omo ampe omo bu fuye. Ewurade Yesu Kristo bu be omo bu fuye na omo pe kra some betri no. And then Ewurade Yesu Kristo yi a no ni answer ni yi a no mo we bu fuo ni said e okan no obese esisu bi. And also, Obafa kwan foforo so asan amadisia no ato aso bio. Enti na Bible sha se ke se na oya no na osha se ka se. So this is the Lord's response to their anger. And it's a very, very beautiful parable. It's the parable of a royal wedding. And it begins there in verse 2. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son. The kingdom of heaven has the idea of how we come to have relationship with God. How we come to taste what it is to have God rule over our hearts. how it is like to enter into spiritual life. What can be compared with that? The Lord Jesus Christ is saying, "Dina, would it be better to say the nimpatumini yangu po enanti, no ni yangu po enyanti tamu dino." Dear infant to her, your dear Christ is dear better to obia na or ye I fro amaniba. Verse 2 there. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son. And so this is a royal wedding. And you know that weddings in those days were not necessarily religious affair. They were purely social matter. They didn't take it to churches, so they didn't take it to the synagogue or temple. It was entirely a home affair. You may invite a teacher there to speak, as we saw in the case of the Lord Jesus Christ in John 2, but it wasn't necessarily a church affair. And so when they talked about the marriage, they were actually talking about what we would call the reception. Because that was what they call the marriage itself. Because the man would have gone to the lady's home and gotten her from there, and normally they would have walked the street and come to his house, and there they would have a party lasting sometimes for 7 days. And so that was the practice at the time. And so this time it's a royal one. It is a king doing it for his son. And so his son is getting married, and the king himself is the one that is now making the provisions. And then we are told in verse 3, "And send forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come." So there were people giving invitation. Normally, if you were invited to this wedding, royal weddings, in most of the weddings, you had two invitations. The first was the one when that would be brought in advance. So, if I wanted to marry, say, next year, or maybe next 2 years, I would send for the invitation to people and say, well, I'm going to marry 2 years or so. And so they will have the invitation. That would be the first invitation. And then, when things are ready, say, just a day before, or even sometimes the very morning, then there will be the second invitation sent forth to those whom I wanted to come to the marriage. And so, these persons had been given the invitation ahead of time, the passage tells us, and sent forth a servant to call them that were bidden to the marriage, to the wedding. And so these persons had invitation in advance. And so they were asked to come. And think of it again. This is a reception, and it is a royal wedding. What do you expect in a royal wedding? Well, if you are to attend a royal wedding, you have a sense of privilege, isn't it? The king is having a wedding, having a reception for his son, and I'm invited. And you'll be there upon invitation only. If we're not invited, you wouldn't be there, and there'll be that pride in that. You remember in the Bible we have a man called Haman. Do you remember that man when Esther invited him to his exclusive dinner? He was so proud. He went home with his chest up and was telling everybody, look, when Esther was throwing a party, he called me. Only I'm the one going. And so it was always a sense of privilege when we were invited. Also, you expected abundance, didn't you? Do you expect to go to a royal wedding and to be given a little food here and there? No, you expect something like several meals served upon different kinds of plates and things like this. That's a royal wedding. It was usually an opportunity for the king to show off a little. At least, if not proudly, but at least to demonstrate his kindness to those he's brought in. And so it was always a sense of that you would have abundance. So much would be brought in. And you expect to have your fill of food and of drinks and every good thing. It was also a sense of closeness. It gave you opportunity to get closer to the king. So you've seen the king in the distance, you've seen him on the street, you've seen him on the podium speaking. Now here you are. You have opportunity to go right to his house and to be so close to him and to have conversations with him. I probably even suggest that this king would interact with those he invites. And so you have a personal interaction with the king. Do you remember, those who were involved denied it. Remember, was it last year, last 2 years or so? Remember that, some of these political things that come up every now and then, where people were saying that the seats close to the president were for sale. Remember that? So it was given to the highest bidder.
So if you pay the biggest money, you are allowed to sit closer to the president. I don't know what the advantages are there, but they understand. So that kind of closeness, which was cherished, is still cherished even among politicians. And if we're invited to that royal wedding, this closeness was natural. You would be so close to the king. And this is something you'd want to go. Well, if you who are adults don't like parties, what about us? What about us young persons? We always like parties. Don't you like that? When you're invited to a wedding, the wedding reception. I don't want to cut through to my sermon so early. I remember when we were young persons, I was a Christian at the time, and at the church, we were living at the church compound. You know, there was a building and there were two rooms at the corners, and we were the ones living there. We were struggling young persons. You know, I remember the lifestyle there. I think of all the young persons there, probably about one or two were the ones working. And so they get their pay, and then they bring in gari or something like that, and then that would be the food for everybody there. And so we struggled over that. Oh, and when we heard that a brother is going to have a wedding, the atmosphere changed. You knew what to expect. At least you have some chicken, and you have something nicer. You go off your usual routine, and you expect something nicer. And so everybody knew the weddings were weddings. You know, there were times of feasting and enjoyment, of delighting in things. And so it is every time. Can you imagine? The pastor tells us, look at verse 3. And sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they will not come. They will not come to the wedding. A royal wedding. And they say, no, we wouldn't come. And then the man was persistent, verse 4. Again he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. The man's plea was simply this. Everything is here. All you need to come is to come and eat. I'm not asking you to come and do anything. You will not make any contribution whatsoever. Everything is here. Only come and eat. And will they come? Verse 5. But they made light of it. The Greek means they were careless. They didn't care about that. And they made light of it and went their ways. One to his farm, another to his merchandise. You see, where they went instead of the wedding wasn't a bad place at all. They went to one where his farm. He's a farmer. And he wanted to go to his farm. What was wrong with that? Nothing wrong. The other one was a business person. He wanted to go and open his store, something like that. What was wrong with that? Nothing wrong at all. The problem is to choose these against the king's invitation. You had accepted already. He had been sent already. The priority at the time was what was wrong. And so the Lord Jesus Christ would have our thoughts on these things. Now, Radio Yesu Kristo Kase. Yang popo ang hindi nedebeti tu obi o hini a oto pono ama onwang kasa ne ba o worry. Yes, it's amre no. So wo worry a enye de ye de ba a sorry an kasa. Etaye fie asem. Ube to me a fre sofwe bimo abaho de se de Radio Yesu Kristo wo John chapter 2 no. And so en sheda enye a sorry asem. Inti wo sa pono no asu no. And sana emre ne besu no de invitation and I say and crown the man crop was on umbra to be catch on in advance and send a sad and soon. And Renus so what say a coffee on so umbra. And he saw papa or small say, Honka can check you more or person more bad ne banu a warrior no assay. Na bra or coyano or mamba. A mamba person more bad. A paper panic asset. Or small, you must say, Honka can show and say, BBI ready. Ne di ane ne na mo mo be wi di bia ye wi do one di o mbra na mo mbe di di e wo ne ba no ne pon asia ne party no asara na na di e kan se she se ya fro wo se ko o hino ne ba ne party ase we nim se bia wo ye fro so ko be di e se ya di di kan se e ye wo se ya she we ni nyam di e ye wo se e bi bi sun ko ma o se o hino pa ye ne party. No, I feel we say, I used to watch you in him now. I think, so you say, so what kind of party? We need that point, sir. We need that point, sir. We call on any party as or any neighbor party as a combative. No, if you party as well, can be crazy and you can't sue me. And I'll be here to say, we need a point, sir. We'll be free on nature, sir. Where did you know? Where did you know? My papa and so. Say, if you're also going to be party, sir. On my own point, sir, we'll be bearing and healing on. A son said, in consensus, I'm ready. We know a healing war a treachery. If you're on a street to so, and I say, yes, on in Crawford, Casaco, Casafi, and Aquina so, and I'll be here to say, won't bear no. I feel you are too supposed to bring a party, I say. Who will point us up in the wood bed one, Casa? And who bet me in Yankee with the Yasa? Now, so, who from almost say one M call? A danger. If you must say a more common farm, if you say a coyer or pedimidia. Nay, a Casa say, say, Nancho, Pesso, Hokon, Pony be any more. So be Pesso upon the farm on year bonnie, or be Pesso codinidia on year bonnie. But I didn't know person will call Sam Renoir. Or he not catch sure that I had said, Nebano Ebert, Chenopono. I feel a whistle will call with Gentwin to Mimba. I feel a whistle will call with Formo into Wintimimba. It will be said, a Hino and Cassa no Mubuno in India. So it was actually the king himself they didn't like. This was merely an excuse. Remember, the Lord Jesus Christ has a similar parable in Luke chapter 14. He really adapted his parables sometimes for different audiences. In Luke chapter 14, he has that similar parable there. And he tells us that these things were excuses. They did that only out of excuse. Luke chapter 14, beginning from verse 15. I'm not turning to that, of course. So, but what is the lesson for us, my dear friends? Well, the lesson is simply this. The Lord invites us to Himself. He invites us to His salvation. And this is a very wonderful comparison. What does it mean to be saved? What does it mean to come to the Lord Jesus Christ? Some people think to become a Christian is to come to be saddled with all kinds of rules that it perplexes you. And things like this. Christians live by rules, of course. Christians live by orders, of course. But it doesn't begin there. And those orders and rules are purely for their own profit, for the glory of their Lord, but for their profit too. And so, it is important to them. But what does it mean to come to the Lord? What does it mean to become a Christian? Is it to be weighed down with unbearable rules? No, my dear friends. It is like being invited to a feast. It's to be brought to be nearer to the Lord. This is an opportunity to be nearer to the Lord. So that I who was once a far off person may be near to the Lord. This is what it means to be saved. It means that my sins will be forgiven me. The Lord Jesus Christ will wash away my sins. And I can commune with God. And God will be near me because He will answer my prayers. And He will give me understanding and light. This is what it means to be saved. To be saved means to experience the greatest privilege. To be a child of God, to be made a child of God, and to have access to God and the blessings He promises in the Lord Jesus Christ. To be saved means that I know the abundance that God provides. You know, my dear friends, Christians would naturally suffer all kinds of challenges in this world because we don't belong here. But there's abundance of help for us. Sadly, you know, when people are thinking of abundance, they only think of material abundance. That is really poor. Only material abundance is poor. But what about abundance of peace? Abundance of understanding and light? What about abundance of strength of character? And of our insight into the meaning and purpose of being here? What about abundance of knowing that one day, when this world is closed and when everything is over, I will have the privilege of dwelling with the Lord Himself forever. What about this abundance? What about this? We only Christians have that provision for every department of our lives. Every department of our lives. Anything that business or provides can only deal with only an aspect of your life. Only us. Have provisions for every department because the Lord Himself will be our help.
Yes, sir. Adesia Echene said, Survival friends, the Embry Radin chair. Or friends, the Embry and Kopo and chair. To say the Eba Apuntuasi, Patiasi. And most so Christian soon said, So my person be Christian, a chair said, Meba, Abesha Embra, Kasika Sibia, to make crammy on the Katie. As Nisa said, because she asked Yara. Yes, a Debbie. A young person Christopher and the Embra Nanti. But Sam Romodinant, and yet I just saw Emma won. It sounds so moon say a yamau now about a dear Yam Shabro Yam Popon. But in your crump on a shaft yet. A shaft yet said, a radical suffering is a member embassy said the nimpa a bit to me at na a ben yam coupon. Said the nimpa bit to me in yam coupon one cassa said nature. It sounds said, a yam cassa said the bit to me in yam coupon, said Niam cassa, Niam coupon. Friends, I know sometimes it's difficult to take it in. When you become converted, one of the amazing things that move you is the wonder that I am a child of God and that God knows me, that God loves me, that the eyes of the Lord are upon me, and that He's interested in every department of my life. There are many women who say, my brother, not thing in an owenika wom na obedani dani said it. So this is a kind of invitation, and would you reject that? Do you reject such an invitation to taste these things, to know these things? Would you reject that? Now, if you're not converted here this morning, you have already rejected that invitation. And the Lord Jesus Christ predicts one of the things that makes you reject that invitation could be because you are so absorbed in the affairs of this life. You are very busy with your work. You are very busy with your trade. You are very busy, perhaps, even with your education. These things are not wrong in themselves. They become wrong when they make you shut your ears to the Lord's invitation. When you say, I don't want to consider matters of my soul now because I'm so busy with money issues. I'm so busy with my classes. I'm so busy. They are not wrong, as I repeat to myself. It is only when they are preferred before the Lord Jesus Christ and His invitation. Because think of it, what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? And others even take it further. Yours may be just an excuse, but it is dangerous. It is very serious that you despise the Lord. When we were children, I remember that one of the things, and still parents do that, one of the things that parents don't like is that maybe you may be in your room or maybe out there playing. And your mother is calling you. And is shouting, calling you, John, John, come. And they say, Mom, I'm coming. Or Elizabeth, or whatever, come. And say, Mom, I'm coming. And he said that 10 times. He said, I'm coming, I'm coming. And he said, but what is it that is keeping you from coming? He said, Mom, I just want to finish something and come. Something. He said, what is that? And imagine he said, I want to finish cleaning my door and I will come. I want to finish washing up my dog, then I will come. Well, our parents don't think. What is their response? Come on, you think that dog is important than me? You think that dog is important than me? Are they right? Yes, they are. Dear friends, you know, surely, if your mom is not calling you, if you finish with whatever she wanted you to do, and you were giving attention to that dog, she wouldn't have complained, would she? There'll be no trouble at all. The trouble is, you do it at the time when he's calling you to go and do something. The problem is always a matter of priority. Before Almighty God, everything, every engagement, all the things that occupy us,
like really, I really like playing with babies. So not babies, but playing with toys, you see. Everything is like really playing with toys. The things that we think are so important, they fill my mind, they fill my head. I'm really busy with this. I'm really busy with this. It's really like playing with toys. Because compare them to eternity. Compare them to my life before God. What are they? They are like toys. And the truth is, as you grow up, you discover that. Is that not so? When you grow up, you realize, oh, when I was a baby, when I was a girl, when I was 10, 12 or something, oh, I like playing with dolls. I like playing with this girl. I like sitting in the grass doing this kind of thing. You grow up, and you say, it was only when I was a baby that I was doing that. And friend, life is the same thing. If you grow up and you get your retirement, and you are getting closer to your very old age, and you look back and say, so what did I do? What did I do with all these things? Why did I so engage my thinking? It's the same thing when you grow up, you begin to discover how pointless they were. And yet you made them to absorb you so much at the time. The Lord Jesus Christ invites you now to see it now, before it is too late. Inti ni amomo amba iradi hono enyese na ye boni se de ye kanu but ne ye ye ne se iradi e fro na sanio mo na esi kwan se se eni to mo ma iradi ho it sense why you busy to do no kan on one gasan be be so on sana. Now others push it even further. Look at what the others did, verse 6. Look at it there. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. Ebi mo die omo actually this omo mo ba invite omo betun start from na omo eyo mo omo treat one very badly omo e power no mo e kumi bi kra what did they pay? Obi ya all betun start for some party ye kuno. How does it happen? Somebody coming to invite you for a party is killed. If we're to be read in the news, everybody will be shocked. Why? Friends, it's one of the most mysterious things. When we're all unbelievers, we live in the same way. But it's always a surprise. Why did we hate those who come to tell us about the Lord Jesus Christ? I didn't turn over back to Jesus Christ and want some actually yet come on. And often our respect for them as pretended. We don't like them. Strangely, isn't it? Now, ask a Christian to go out. You go out to speak to some people. Maybe you go and meet them under a shed. They come to me and say, well, I'm coming to speak to you. I'm from Seven Grace Reformed Baptist Church. I'm coming to share with you something about the Lord Jesus Christ. And they are actually cornered them because they were there and went. And so you speak to them and you tell them, well, I'd like to come next week too and have continue our conversation. Do you agree? They will say, oh, yes, come, or so forth, come. And then ask a number of Christians. The next week comes, and then when some, at least, let me be kind to that, may not be all of them, but some of them, the moment they spot you coming from afar, if those sitting there were 10, they'll be melting. When you go, there's only 2. Why can you? You didn't insult them. You didn't ask them for money. You didn't do anything against them. Why are they running away? Didn't you do that too? Strange creatures. The kindness message we hate. The kindness invitation we don't like to hear. We hate even those who come to tell us. This is strange, isn't it? Wow, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ gives us the answer in John chapter 3. He says it's because we have loved darkness more than light. We don't want our dark deeds to be exposed. You know, the Lord made us in such a way that our consciences work powerfully. You may not have touched anything at all about
about the sins that the person is committing. But the very moment you talked about God and His judgment, why? It registers. The person begins to be uneasy. He knows what he's doing. He knows his life. He knows his secrets. It is as if his secrets are exposed, even though he has said nothing. And so he doesn't like it. Nobody wants to be exposed that way. And so we understand why these Pharisees were angry with the Lord Jesus Christ. Dear friend, do you bear in your, I wouldn't want to call it hatred, perhaps I'll be too strong. In our case, in your case, is there a deep-seated dislike of that message that tells you something about your need of the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you have a deep-seated dislike? A deep-seated desire that you are never told anything about who you really are? A bit man you cross said, Ewa wakunu, yemwanka yenkabibia, efased yewetibia, etiankasamu. Don't you see this is unnatural? Oh, if you went to a hospital and the doctor called you in, and in the consulting room, the doctor seemed to do all kinds of examination about you. And then, when he began to speak to you, he began only to begin to speak to another person sitting there. It's nothing about you. He's done examinations about you, but what he's saying is not about you. Well, you'll be worried. You would tell him, doctor, please, what about me? What does the result say? What about my case, wouldn't you? Don't you see, so I'm not sure. Don't we don't want to see who we really are? This is strange. But the Bible says that's us. Because you see, in spite of all our sinfulness, in spite of all our unworthiness before God, we want to feel wonderful. We want to feel that we are wonderful persons. We must be admired. We must be applauded. We must not be exposed to feel shame in our hearts. But the point is, no shame, no conversion. No sense of shame, no real desire for the Savior. No sense of unworthiness, no thirsting for pardon. Say, me want it to me, say the metidia to me, me ma eradiho. En ya me se mi hiyano kra. Inti, and sana me do can be to me abu amini. It's a so di kaman you say the metidia to answer. It's ni mpampesa o tise, o tisa. My dear friends, so the king was angry. Look at verse 7. And when the king heard thereof, he was wroth. And he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. And so the king's response was quite strict. Friends, this is a very little warning. In fact, I hope to speak on chapter 23, the Lord willing, tonight. And the Lord Jesus Christ has a very extensive warning for the Pharisees. but this is a warning. Dear friends, we often tell people, and believe me, we strive to speak with them really pastoral hearts. You know what this is? Dear friend, in the midst of all your sinfulness, even if you are not a Christian yet, I hope you listen, even if you know that I am not converted, I go to church and I hope that one day I would come to trust the Lord, and you know that you're not converted, do you know? Fear that this would happen. Fear that you begin to develop a dislike for the very message of the Lord that shows you your sinfulness. Fear that. Because when I come to dislike that, God's response, if I persist, the word is if. If I persist in that, God's response is to give me over to my sin. And that's his anger. In anger, he gives me over to my sin. I never will never feel the shame of my sin anymore. And then how can I repent? How can I come to the Lord Jesus Christ? And so this is what the king did. He destroyed their city. It applied particularly physically, literally, to the Israelites.
because God said, because they rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord made the Romans to come upon them and to destroy their city. Because when the Lord Jesus Christ came, it was their final opportunity. And they threw that away also. But we do not have a city to be destroyed. We can have our hearts hardened, left over to its sins, so that it does not seek the Lord anymore. Friends, now, verse 8. Then said he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. This is a very interesting statement. Those who did not come, perhaps they didn't go out of pride. They said, we didn't care about the king. Papa no qualifier, yeah, we caught in the bag in the party. When people are being snobbish, they feel a pride in themselves, you know that. When people are being snobbish, especially to authority, they feel such a wonder. They feel a kind of a self-admiration. Oh, don't mind. Even the president invites me, I wouldn't mind him. I wouldn't go. They feel such pride in themselves. And what the man does, what the king does, is to turn the tables and say, oh, they didn't want to come. The real reason is they are not worthy. They don't deserve it. They are such wicked persons. They are not worthy of my meals. So it's good they never came. It's not that they are wonderful persons. The truth is, they are not worthy. You wouldn't want to come, dear friends. Dear friends, I hope you... Sometimes it happens in young persons. Sometimes in a place, some of our young persons who are living with Christian parents, believe me, your parents haven't said anything to me or anything like that, so don't worry. You know, sometimes young children, young persons living with their parents behave this way. They almost come to a point where if their parents are trying to be firm over a number of things, they almost say it in their heart. Sometimes, or some of them have the audacity to say it even openly. I'm not even become converted. I'm not even becoming a Christian. I seem to hurt their parents. They think it's a kind of their conversion is a kind of a bribe. Their parents are paying them. Please be careful. Be very careful of this kind of mentality. Because you know something? If you do not come to the Lord will lose nothing. And you will be found unworthy. You are the one who is unworthy. The truth is, it is the mercy of the Jew. It's not you coming to do anything wonderful for the Lord. It's mercy that's going to be offered you. It's not because the Lord is so hampered if he doesn't get you to himself. Look at what followed. Go on and see. Look at verse 9. So the man sent them to go. He's going to show that they were not really worthy. And he's going to fill his house anyway. So look at verse 9. Go ye therefore into the highways. And as many as ye shall find, bid them to the marriage. Now go outside my palace. Go outside even perhaps my dominion. And go and invite people in. And then would there be response? Yes, verse 10. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good. And the wedding was furnished with guests. The room was full. The Lord Jesus Christ will have his heart full of those who would come to him. There will be people who come and truly walk with him and love him and serve him. The Lord Jesus Christ will lack nothing. He paid the debt with his own blood. When he went to the cross of Calvary, he died so that those who would come would truly come. And they will surely come. They will respond to his kindness. They will be moved by his invitation. And they will surely come. You have to be careful that your delay doesn't perhaps mean that you are not worthy. Not worthy, not because you have something, but because you're not even seeing your misery. You're not even seeing that you are a sinner and have nothing at all. And the only mercy must deal with you and bring you to the Lord. You see. And so, my dear friends, the wedding was furnished with guests. And look at something that is quite interesting. Verse 10. So the servants went out into the highways and gathered together all, as many as they found, both bad and good. Why the statement? Why both bad and good? Because this. It's intended to show us that all persons, whether society called you good or bad, unless you respond to the invitation, you don't taste the meal. Let society call you good. Let society call you bad. Bad, the Greek means evil. It doesn't matter. What matters is that you must respond to the Lord's invitation. And you'll go and eat the king's meals. Let society call you good. Remember, unless you go to you respond to the invitation, you don't get to taste of the meal. Because before the Lord, none is good enough to deserve his salvation, and none is too bad that he cannot be saved. No, mudi angwo kwa biya shomwa mutrim. Na yesi iradima papanika se oh omwa mban mwa kasa somu fata. Iti nukresem se enye somu omuye womwa dudodo. But omu fata isan se omu kwa enjumi mhunu se de wanti biyate. Na iradi bro mwa mban. Irade make sure say me partner to the and papa make sure say me partner to the and call for the better small one say I feel the moon fee her or moon call it chin no one no moon call friend or moon way chin no moon your papa and you want moon your papa in a embra na or moon call it no moon call friend one by I didn't tell you your customer moon your papa you want moon your papa yes say obia. Then friends have to begin to close. Those that came, all of them have come. The wedding, the party was full. The hall was full. Another surprise. Verse 11. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, Friend, how camest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. The Lord deliberately added this part to the parable, because he wanted us to challenge these people. In those days, if somebody had a wedding reception, and he was a wealthy person, he provided free garments to identify them. You may get it at the gate, or sometimes which may be something just worn over, a tunic or something like that. Sorry. Or it should have been brought to you earlier, and so that everybody in there would have his wedding garment. And so as I said, the king, when everybody was there, began to interact with those at the party. And as he was interacting with them, he saw this particular man there. He has no wedding garment. And so how did he come in? How did he come into the wedding? To the wedding without his garment. And so the man confronted him, verse 12. And he said unto him, Friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? How did you come in that you don't have wedding garment? And the man was speechless. Now, naturally, you see the Lord Jesus Christ meant this to teach us a spiritual lesson. Of course, what the parables are. And it's evident because, naturally, if this man came in without a wedding garment, and he's coming anyway, what do you think you would do? Just call him aside and give him a garment. Isn't it? But no. Look at what they did. So the Lord Jesus Christ will show us the lesson. Then said the king to the servant, Bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. No, I'm not going to give him a garment. Go and throw him out. Bind him. Go throw him out. Why? Verse 14. For many are called, but few are chosen. What is it supposed to teach us? The Lord Jesus Christ. You see, there were those who would not accept, who will reject the invitation merely because they wanted to go to their farm, go to their jobs. So these are people who use excuses not to come to the Lord. Then we have those persons who are outright rejectors. Those who openly say, me, I have nothing to do with Christianity. Don't tell me anything about Christianity or the Bible. The Bible is quite man's whatever. And so don't tell me anything. So they are outright. They were also publicly, some only Christians, some initiated. Now, the first as equal are in the same condition as this one. And then there's a third category the Lord Jesus Christ shows. They are those who seem to have responded to the gospel, but not truly. What is it that is missing? What is missing is that they don't have the garment of the word. What is missing in those who are not genuine are those, they are not trusting truly in the righteousness of Christ. They are not trusting only in what the Savior did. They don't know what it is to have the righteousness of Christ given to them freely. And to entirely throw away every confidence in themselves, confidence in their own deeds, confidence in their own whatever they think they've done. They're still holding themselves, some admiration of themselves. They're not truly looking to Christ only. They're not saying, I only depend on what the Savior did on Calvary for me to sin. They accept that in their heads, but in their heart they still retain a pride of who they are, a pride of what they've done or what they can do. Of course they cannot be Christians. Of course they cannot be blessed. Of course God will not hear their prayers. They trust in themselves still. But dear Ehani, one rich one kasa any Radius Christo. You say Radius Christo, I'm a Mabayan Copambano. You did Radius Christo, and the children in any Edimami, the Boyeni, Sans Minibi. Minishia, Ebamayan Copon, any assomi. Minishiara. Set and Kofu Bumi Bumi Din Sen, and Sushi when Yan Copon in me, and near turning in to send to my go, and when Yan Copon in him. And the Sani pay what? Penis one trim, but now come up with your other swa cherry on one castani, your sister so nimmy, your bit me, I and a wire. Indeed, Wabaho dear, and so on your radia. Do you know the aspect of this part which personally moves me is this. In this case, the servants themselves that went to call them even didn't see it. The servants didn't see it. It was the master, the king himself, that came and saw it. There's another parable, you remember, the parable of the wheat and the tares. In that parable, the servants saw it. The servants saw that there are strange plants among the good ones. And they were the ones who complained. So the Lord Jesus Christ showed that some people still mix up with churches, by and by, their own pastors, their own other Christians will see and say, this person, we are really struggling now to see whether this person is converted or not. But there will be others. There will be others that no one living will know. Because they would play it so neat. No human eye can detect them yet. But they themselves will always know, because they will know in their hearts. They admire themselves. They look at themselves and say, I am good. I am. They know. And so they have not a garment on. They they've not received from the Lord the free righteousness of Christ. Because they never were tired, grieved, sad, ashamed that they have no good. And that the Lord Jesus Christ alone must clothe them. Friends, I have to begin to close. Years ago, there was a preacher that would visit a particular community to preach. And then he would go to a particular household. And then he would tell them of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he went and he was speaking to them, there was this maid in the house that would always come to listen. She would listen very carefully and take almost everything that the preacher was saying seriously. And then the preacher one time decided to speak to them individually to see what's the progress with them. And this young lady was frank enough to tell the preacher, "Sir, I accept what you say, but I do not really sense that I'm a sinner." He didn't say that I'm not a sinner. She didn't say that, but I don't really sense that I am a sinner. I don't sense that I'm that terrible sinner you're talking about. And so the preacher said, "Well, would you do this for me?" What helped was that this young lady was saying this very sincerely. She was sincerely telling the preacher. She understands what the preacher was saying, but she could not sense her own misery. And the preacher said, "Would you just do this for me?" Because everybody in the house admired her. Everybody praised her. Everybody said she was an angel. So the preacher said, "Would you say this? If you are sincere, then promise me that you would always go to the Lord, even if it's 2 minutes or so, tell the Lord, 'Lord, let me see who I really am. Lord, let me see who I really am.'" Well, the young lady agreed. And so she did. And then within a short time, the family had to call the preacher quickly and say, "Come." The young lady is so depressed beyond measure. She's always crying. "I am such a miserable person. In spite of all the praise around," she didn't hear any of them. "I am such a miserable person." And the preacher, when the preacher came, he only told him another thing. Would you promise me you'll do another thing? "Tell the Lord, oh Lord, now reveal your son to me. Let me see and grasp what he's done for needy sinners." And that's where she found her rest. My dear friends, we are saved when we see that we are naked. You are free to admire yourself. Allow that thought that I'm a wonderful person to even come to your head. It makes you tremble. "I am afraid," because God sees and knows it's not true. It's not. It's a bloated thing. It's not true. It's a make-believe. It's something I'm making it up. It's not true. I am only a wretched worm. I have nothing. And then you go to the Lord Jesus Christ, trusting only what he did for sinners. He bore the penalty for sin only for those who know they have not that they just say it, but sense it, grieved by that, cast down by that in their own eyes. Calling therefore upon the Savior to save. Dear friends, would you do that? Probably you are not an outright open rejecter. Probably. You are not giving excuses anymore. But be careful that you come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Someone who has seen his sinfulness and has come only to trust in what the Savior has done. And so I'll be ready to see Christos in here. We will get said, "You ready to be saying, 'I'm not anymore here for no betray or no crime.'"